Hello, this is Andrew Stewart reporting for Rhode Island's Future, your source for progressive news and analysis in the Ocean State. This recording is being created for the educational uses by a nonprofit organization, and all media used herein is protected under the auspices of fair use. 2016 marks the 80th anniversary of the Spanish Civil War, a conflict remembered in near legendary terms by people on the political left. On July 17, 1936, a group of army officers led by General Francisco Franco launched a coup to overthrow the democratically elected government of the Second Spanish Republic. The coup failed, but in a country that was deeply divided along ideological lines, these nationalists were able to find support from the bourgeoisie and a Catholic church that deeply resented land reform and efforts to separate the church and state, plunging the country into nearly 3 years of civil war. On the Republican side, the uprising had led to the arming of left-wing labor unions and political parties, creating a revolutionary situation where communists, socialists, and anarchists were forced to confront both the enemy and long-standing conflicts amongst themselves. Women were granted the right to abortion care and suffrage, workers asserted control of the means of production, and the arts took on subject matter and themes that were once forbidden. At a time when Europe feared another war, England and France led other countries to adopt a non-intervention policy that prevented the legally elected government from purchasing arms and munitions. In theory, this was meant to contain the war. In practice, however, the fascist governments of Italy, Germany, and Portugal were sending weaponry and soldiers to fight a government that was mischaracterized as a godless Bolshevik and Masonic abomination. The Soviet Union, recognizing the war as a battlefield to stop the advance of fascism, sent out a call for volunteers from around the world to come to Spain, calling the Iberian Peninsula the tomb of fascism.
And I told them that the Spanish people have risen up and are resisting this. This is the first resistance to the march of Nazi aggression that has manifested itself. It has not happened in China. It has not happened in Africa. In both places, they were suppressed, they were defeated. But the Spanish people are fighting back, and they are winning. And with your help, with our help, we can defeat fascism in Spain. We can make Madrid the tomb of fascism and save our lives, our children's lives, and turn this menace back.
That was the late Milton Wolf speaking in the documentary film The Good Fight. These international brigades, composed of almost 40,000 volunteers from 53 nations, were organized by the worldwide communist parties. The Abraham Lincoln Brigade of 2,800 American volunteers has become a legend and at one time was described as the American Legion of the Old Left, at a time when the American military was still segregated. It was the first American unit in history to eschew racism in the name of class warfare and international struggle against white supremacy. Women volunteers drove ambulances to the front and were given the same respect as men decades before the feminist movement would make these types of gains across the Atlantic. As was mentioned, the Civil War generated a good deal of art from some of the greatest talents of the century. Picasso's massive mural, Guernica, was a vivid representation of an air raid by German planes on a Republican village that was considered a practice run for the Blitzkriegs seen several years later across the globe. Martha Gellhorn, Ernest Hemingway, George Orwell, Claude Coburn, Pablo Neruda, Herbert Matthews, and other great writers of the era wrote major works on the conflict. And as part of an effort to raise awareness and funds, artists performed songs they had heard international brigade members singing, among them Woody Guthrie, P. Pete Seeger and Paul Robeson. I am talking today with Dr. Peter Glaser of the University of California at Berkeley, who has done a good deal of scholarship on these songs. His father, Tom, sang on some of these recordings with Pete Seeger. He is the author of Radical Nostalgia, Spanish Civil War Commemoration in America, and a play about the war called Heart of Spain. He has also written the liner notes for the reissue of these songs by the Smithsonian Folkways imprint. As a member of the board of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives, he has worked to preserve the radical legacy of the International Brigades and awareness of their cause. What is the history of Spanish Civil War songs in America?
As far as recording is concerned, the first recordings of Spanish Civil War songs that came to the U.S. were released on a record that was made in Germany by the famous German tenor Ernst Busch, who was a collaborator with Bertolt Brecht. And he got a group of soldiers, volunteers together in Barcelona, and they recorded a song, an album that became known as Six Songs for Democracy. And they were sung in different languages, German, Spanish, and there was, I think, a verse or two sung in English. And this record, I think, was released in New York City in 1939, the year that the war ended. And it was very successful. Lots and lots of people bought copies of this. This was 78, of course, at that time. And some years later, Mo Ash, who the famous sort of folk impresario, wanted to make a record in the U.S. to ride on the success of Six Songs for Democracy. His first attempt was to get a bunch of flamenco, expatriate flamenco musicians together in a studio. And that session never proved successful. I've never been able to track down. It was never certainly released, and I'm not aware of any extant recordings of that session. But Pete Seeger, Mo Ash invited Pete Seeger to attend that session. And though, of course, Pete wasn't in Spain, I suspect that that was one of the first times that he heard Spanish musicians playing these remarkable songs. A few, and also, obviously, listening to the stylings that he was able to later incorporate into his banjo playing. A couple of years after that, and I'm not sure exactly what year that session took place, Mo Ash called Pete Seeger, and during a furlough, when Seeger was in basic training, he asked Pete to make a record of songs from the Spanish Civil War. And Pete made three phone calls. He called my dad, Tom Glaser, and he called Butch Hawes and Bess Lomax, who was, I think, married to Butch at the time, but they were together. And the four of them went into a studio in New York and over a weekend recorded an album of 78s that's been redone many, many times since then that was called Songs of the Lincoln Brigade. And there's a wonderful account in The Volunteer, which is the publication of the Veterans of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, that was written in 1944, describing the advance playing of that record at a commemorative event in New York City, where a lot of the volunteers were coming as part of their reunion process. And they literally played the record for them before it was released. And it describes how emotional it was for them to hear these songs sung and put onto a record that had been so important to them in Spain. So the other connection that I've discovered in my research is that there were expatriate musicians playing some of these songs in live circumstances, either at parties or at fundraisers or one sort or another, probably in the years after the war, before this recording was made. Pete Seeger describes one particular volunteer who came by an Almanac House, the place where Pete Seeger and the Almanac Singers called home. And Pete, when I interviewed him about this, says that the two sources that he had for learning the songs of the Spanish Civil War were that flamenco session that he attended that never produced a record, and from this volunteer who sang those songs with Pete and taught them to him when he was at Almanac House. So once the songs were here and there were gatherings every year of the volunteers, it was inevitable that those songs were going to be part of the performances. And there are many, many accounts, you know, where people write stories of those particular commemorative gatherings that were happening on an annual basis in different cities around the country. And the songs were almost inevitably part of those events. And once they were recorded in 44, and those records circulated around the Betz community, then there became effectively official versions of those songs. Some of them might have been different from the way the volunteers remembered them, but inevitably when a song gets recorded, it in a way becomes a kind of an official version of the song. Seeger tells a really fabulous story of going to Spain to perform in the 60s when Franco was still in power. And though he had been arranged to do a public performance, the people he went to see decided it was too risky, that the government was too angry at that particular political movement, and that they were concerned that they might all be arrested. So they ended up with an underground performance at an undisclosed location. And Seeger started singing one of these Spanish Civil War songs, and everyone in the audience knew them and knew the lyrics in the exact order in which they'd been performed on that record in 1944. And Pete, who was something of a Luddite, said, well, I guess there's some advantages to recording technology, because they had bootleg copies of that record and learned the songs the way that Pete sang them. So he was pretty impressed with that. And when I entered this process in 91, those songs were just a foregone conclusion. Anytime that Spanish Civil War volunteers, veterans, and their families gathered, these songs were part of the emotional sort of texture of those events. And that's true to this day.
Here's one of those songs right now, titled Jarama Valley.
The original melody is a song a lot of people are familiar with, which is called the Red River Valley from Canada. And the origins of this song in Spain it was written as a complaint by a Scottish volunteer named Alec McDade. A lot of the songs among soldiers are often complaining about the circumstances. And it was a pretty bitter and satirical complaint about the fact that they'd been left at the lines for a very long time. Pretty soon thereafter, within about a year or two, the lyric was rewritten, probably by a political operative in the Communist Party, and became a commemorative anthem, celebrating what the soldiers had experienced in Spain. And that's how it came to the United States, when it was sung in the 40s by my dad and Pete Seeger. And that's the way that it's recognized now, though the original lyric, as I said, was meant to be satirical.
There's a valley in Spain called Jarama. It's a place that we all know so well. It was there that we gave of our manhood, where so many of our brave comrades fell. Sons of the people, as part of the 15th Brigade. Now we're far from that valley of its memory we ne'er will forget. So before we conclude this reunion, let us stand to our glorious bed. Valley a place that we all know so well. It was there that we gave of our manhood, where so many of our brave comrades fell.
Are back. I'm Andrew Stewart, reporting for Rhode Island's Future. My guest today is Dr. Peter Glaser. He is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, and a member of the board of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. He has done a large amount of scholarship on music that was recorded in solidarity with the Second Spanish Republic during the Spanish Civil War of 1936 to 39.
Could you briefly describe who Ernst Busch was?
Sure. Ernst Busch, I've heard him described in different ways, but one of the ways was Ernst Busch, the working class tenor. Ernst Busch was a very accomplished musician. He was a collaborator of Bertolt Brecht. He appeared in the film of Bertolt Brecht's Three Penny Opera that was made, I believe, in 1933 by G.W. Pabst. And he performs the song that we all are familiar with as Mack the Knife, though before it had become popularized exactly. He plays the accordion and sings it during the opening of that film. He then went to Spain, and as a musician, he decided that part of his task was to write down in musical form all of the songs that he had heard from Spain, and he created a little red book called Canciones de las Brigadas Internacionales, Songs of the International Brigades, that had about 100 pages and included dozens and dozens and dozens of songs, very simply rendered with a lead sheet of music and lyrics. And it was a little book smaller than a paperback with a hardcover. I have a copy. And that book circulated among the soldiers and became sort of the Bible for anyone, you know, so that at any meeting, if you wanted to sing a song, you would pull out the book and have all the lyrics in front of you. One of my favorite things about that book is that it has the Internationale, the anthem of the Communist Party, in about 12 different languages. So anyone from any country with any language background, Yugoslav and German and French and Italian and English and Japanese, it had all of these different translations of the Internationale. It also has a lot of illustrations in it. So, and Busch went back to Spain and continued, quite an illustrious career as a musician and a composer. And a number of his projects were collaborations with Brecht.
Here's one of those songs right now titled Freiheit.
This is one of the songs that is sung a lot these days and very popular because of its sort of shouted refrain. And it's, you know, a lot of people don't really recognize that the German anti-fascists were a hugely important part of the struggle in Spain. And so Freiheit originated as a German anthem and was included on an album called Six Songs for Democracy, which was recorded in Spain during the war in the late 30s. The formal title of this song is the Thälmann Column, or in German, again, I can't say the German that well, the Thälmann Column, which was the German anti-fascist brigade that went to Spain, named after a famous German communist and political figure. And it's one of the songs that has a really successful translation into English. And it has been sung both in German and in English at many of the events. One of the famous images of the early part of the Spanish Civil War in November of 1936 was when the defense of Madrid was at stake and the first volunteers from Europe marched into Madrid, and this was the German battalion, and they were singing this song, as I understand it, and their their involvement in the defense of Madrid was a big reason that, Franco did not win the war in the first month. The war began in July, and the arrival of the Germans was in November. And the refrain of the song is Freiheit, which is freedom in German. And one of the reasons it's called Freiheit is because that refrain is so powerful and so aggressive when it arrives in the song that that's how people remember it. But it really is affiliated with the German volunteers. And I think another reason that this song has become among the volunteers so important was that they were so grateful to the German anti-fascists who fought in Spain. And this was the song that recalled that involvement and that experience. And it is, whenever this song is sung in commemorative events or in concerts, the last word of the song, which is shouted Freiheit, inevitably gets the whole room shouting and everyone raising their fists in the Republican salute. It's a pretty dramatic moment.
Ehemann Kolonne. Spaniens Himmel breitet seine Sterne über unsere Schützengräben aus. Und der Morgen grüßt schon aus der Ferne, bald geht es zum neuen Kampf hinaus. Die Heimat ist weit, doch wir sind bereit. Wir kämpfen und siegen für dich. Freiheit! Dem Faschisten werden wir nicht weichen, schickt er auf die Kugelhagel dich. Mit uns stehen Kameraden ohne Gleichen und ein Rückwärts gibt es für uns nicht.
Die Heimat ist weit, doch wir sind bereit. Wir kämpfen und siegen für dich. Freiheit!
Rührt die Trommel! Bajonette, vorwärts Marsch, der Sieg ist unser Lohn. Mit der Freiheit, Fahne, brecht die Kette, auf zum Kampf, das Hellmann-Bataillon.
Die Heimat ist frei, doch wir sind bereit. Wir kämpfen und sterben für dich.
I'm Andrew Stewart, reporting for Rhode Island's Future. My guest today is Dr. Peter Glaser. He is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, and a member of the board of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. He has done a large amount of scholarship on music that was recorded in solidarity with the Second Spanish Republic during the Spanish Civil War of 1936 to 39.
What did the Spanish Civil War as a cause to support do in America's nascent folk scene?
I think that I have to sort of expand that question slightly into politics of the middle to late 20th century. Let's go backwards slightly. When during the Vietnam War, during the protests against the Vietnam War, A lot of the American volunteers in Spain, these older radicals, would march in the parades fighting against the Vietnam War, with banners that said something like, you know, Abraham Lincoln Brigade volunteers, say to end the war, whatever those banners might have said. And whenever they would pass in front of the younger radicals, they were heroes. And I think the reason they were heroes was because in 1936 to 1939, after a military coup in Spain, when a democratic government was being fought against by the military and the Catholic Church, basically by the Spanish military and the power structures in Spain, volunteers from around the world decided that it was important to resist this fascist onslaught in Spain, believing in some parts that if they didn't, that there would be a world war in Europe. Of course, the war was lost, and eventually there was. It was certainly also a cause that was of importance to the Communist Party, and the Communist Party was very much involved in organizing the volunteers. Not all of the volunteers were communists. Many of them were, many of them were not. So I think they throw around the number that 30,000 volunteers from 52 countries went to Spain to fight the fascists and to try to hold on to the democratic government in Spain. So it became a very important cause in the 20th century because Spain was the only country in Europe where there was a resistance, an organized military resistance that had the possibility of success against fascism. Obviously, Mussolini had, you know, there was no similar kind of force in Italy. Hitler was in power in Germany. Spain was, for many people around the world, one of the precious holdouts against the fascist wave. When I talk to students about the Spanish Civil War and try to give them something that might be able to be a comparison, the best example that I can come up with is that if the day after Nelson Mandela had been released from prison and the day after his sort of triumph over the powers of apartheid in South Africa, if the next day the military had captured and imprisoned Mandela and all the apartheid laws had been reestablished, there would have been an uproar around the world. Everyone in the world knew what was going on in South Africa. And in a similar way, many, many thousands of people around the globe knew what was going on in Spain, such that the day after, I believe, Franco's rebellion in July of 1936, there was a rally outside of Madison Square Garden where thousands and thousands and thousands of people stood and raised the Republican salute to, state their support of the Spanish Democratic Republic. So this was a widespread cause. And became, because of these songs, when the volunteers came back, the songs became a way to recognize this leftist movement that had taken force in Spain, that had become so important in Spain, and a way of the left in the U.S. rallying around a cause that they all believed in. A lot of people called the Spanish Civil War the last great cause or the good fight. And the music became a kind of a performed representation of this cause. And it was a losing cause. And of course, losing causes are very emotional. But before the Civil Rights Movement, when songs like "We Shall Overcome" and "Solidarity Forever" and, you know, the famous anthems of civil rights, long before that, the Civil Rights Movement had its music. The Spanish Civil War had its music. And for folk singers of a progressive persuasion who were singing songs about the labor movement and were singing songs by Joe Hill about the strikes, once these songs came to America, sung by people like Seeger and my dad and eventually the Weavers, they became part of, if you will, the progressive repertoire of music sung by folk singers with progressive leanings and leftist leanings in the United States. There's a wonderful little reference in a book about the late 50s and the Bohemian and the Beatnik movement in the U.S. and that sort of wave that if anyone came able to sing a song from the Spanish Civil War in the late 50s, they got a lot of attention, immediately got a lot of attention, because those were kind of sacred tunes. So they still carry a lot of power. But that, I think, they were taken up by folk singers thanks to Mo Ash getting Seeger involved. They were the kind of music that represented exactly what the progressive folk scene was looking for: revolutionary anthems, anthems of liberation, anthems that were celebrating the cause of the marginalized populations against the power structure. And they fit the bill and became they fit the bill and then immediately became part of the part of the repertoire, and still are to a great extent.
Here's one of those songs right now, titled Cookhouse/The Young Man from Alcala.
I was first aware of that song on the album that my dad recorded with Pete Seeger in the early 40s. And the melody goes back to the late 19th century, a song called There Is a Happy Land. I have no evidence of this exactly, but I suspect that this song might have originated as a soldier song during the First World War, since the melody goes back that far. And it's really two songs put together, Cookhouse and The Young Man from Alcala. And it sort of messes with the Spanish language a little bit. And again, it's from the perspective of how bad the food was on the front, and sort of is a little bit of a humorous chronicle of the Lincoln's time in Spain, using sort of fancy corny rhymes and another melody that they adopted into the song as well. And that one, as I said, is sung on the album that my dad and Pete recorded. And how it came to the States, I'm not sure. But I know that when I've heard it sung in concerts, the vets remember it well. They tend to love the songs that were funny and satirical because they made them feel better.
Sweet cookhouse not far away, where we get sweet demo three times a day. Ham and eggs we never see, demo sugar in our tea, and we are gradually fading away. Old soldiers never die, never die, never die. Old soldiers never die, they just fade away. A Spaniard who hailed from Alcala, when angered would shout mucho mala. He tossed a grenade at a Moorish brigade and blew all those fascists to Allah.
Yippee-i-yay-yay-yay, yippee-i-yay-yay-yay.
Oh, the Lincoln Battalion by cracky, a bunch of brave bozos the wacky. They held down the line for months at a time against Franco, Il Duce's lackey.
Yippee-i-yay-yay-yay, yippee-i-yay-yay-yay.
'Twas there on the plains of Brunetti, midst a hail of steel confetti, with our planes and air bombs we would smash Franco's ranks, got sick on Italian spaghetti.
Yippee-i-yay-yay-yay, yippee-i-yay-yay-yay.
Oh, the Lincoln boys fought at Jarama, they made the fascisti cry mama. They were holding the line for months at a time, and for sport they would play with Obama.
Yippee-i-yay-yay-yay, yippee-i-yay-yay-yay.
A codger from old Albaceta took on 16 goats on a betta. When asked how he felt, he just hitched up his belt and said, I can't tell just as yet.
Yippee-i-yay-yay-yay, yippee-i-yay-yay-yay.
And we are back. I'm Andrew Stewart, reporting for Rhode Island's Future. My guest today is Dr. Peter Glazer. He is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, and a member of the board of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. He has done a large amount of scholarship on music that was recorded in solidarity with the Second Spanish Republic during the Spanish Civil War of 1936 to 39.
What is kind of your own family history in relation to this stuff? You've mentioned your dad a few times.
Yeah, so when Pete Seeger made the call after he was contacted by Boash, and when he put out the call for some singers to help him make this record of Spanish Civil War music, my father was one of the people that he contacted. They had performed together. They knew each other from folk circles. They had been involved in people's songs together. And so that record was made in one weekend. They rehearsed on Saturday. They recorded on Sunday. And even very late in his life, Seeger commented that it was one of the most powerful recordings he'd ever made. And one can speculate about, you know, why. I think that's partially the combination of these fabulous melodies and all of the emotion that was carried with them. So I was born in 53, and I was, you know, I came of age during the Vietnam War, and my father was a professional singer, folk singer and children's folk singer. And when people would gather at my home in Westchester County, where I grew up, and I was in my, you know, I was 10, 11, 12 years old and older, often someone, perhaps my mom, perhaps one of my dad's friends, would say, "Tom, sing one of the songs from the Spanish Civil War." I didn't know what the Spanish Civil War was. I had no idea. But I remembered very distinctly how powerful those songs were to the people in the room. The room would get very quiet. People would sort of close their eyes and listen. I remember him singing the Foreign Surgeon Generals. I distinctly remember him singing that. And I also remember him singing the Pete Bog Soldiers. And I'm sure he sang other songs as well. Those are the ones that I distinctly remember. And though I didn't know the songs, I knew that there was something up. Something was important about this music. And I also loved it as music. So later in my career, when I had become a playwright and was working in the theater, and I was looking for a project that something that I might be able to use as the core material for a piece of musical theater, I remembered these songs. And this would have been probably, oh, I'm guessing in the late 70s, early 80s, and didn't know exactly what I was going to do with them. But some years later, when I actually had the time, I began to research the history of the Spanish Civil War, remembering the songs that my dad had sung, and started to gather the recordings and listen. And that was my entree into this whole subject. I went on to write a musical theater piece called Heart of Spain. I began to work with the volunteers out here in California and then in Chicago and New York. And the music was sort of the opening for that. And one of the great things that I had going for me was that I would meet these people, the volunteers or their kids, and say, you know, I'd love to talk to you about your experiences in Spain. And I would say, and, you know, it happens that my father was one of the people who sang on that record. They would go, "Oh boy." And they would go to the record cabinet and they'd pull out these 78s. Everybody had a copy, and they would say, "I've been listening to these records since I came back from Spain." So I had this wonderful connection to the music, thanks to my dad. And he came to some of these commemorative events. He attended them after I became involved, and it was wonderful for him to hear these songs again. But that was the family connection. These were songs that my father had recorded and sang, you know, much later in his life, that became my introduction to this music and this history.
Here's one of those songs right now, titled Los Cuatro Generales.
This was the first song that I ever heard that affiliated with the Spanish Civil War. And the Foreign Surgeon Generals is the way that it's translated into English. And it was a Spanish song. It was based on an old a folk tune, The Four Mule Tears, Los Cuatro Muleros, I think is how to say it, which even actually Federico Garcia Lorca had done a version, a lyric on that melody. But it's a condemnation of Franco and the other three generals who were leading the rebellion in Spain. And it's a very critical song. It's a real condemnation It describes the potential that they would end up hanging. A very angry song, but a beautiful melody and a very emotional song. It's been sung at the various commemorative events. And I do remember my father singing this song when I was growing up when I was a kid, among his peers, you know, people who remembered the time of the 30s. And it always created quite had a very reverent impact on everyone, in part because of the beauty of the melody.
Los generales, los cuatro generales, los cuatro generales, mamita mía, serán alzados, serán alzados. Para la noche buena, para la noche buena, para la noche buena, mamita mía, serán ahorcados, serán ahorcados. The four insurgent generals, the four insurgent generals, the four insurgent generals, mamita mía, they tried to betray us, they tried to betray us. Next Christmas, holy evening, next Christmas, holy evening, next Christmas, holy evening, mamita mia, they'll all be hanging, they'll all be hanging. Madrid, que bien resistes, Madrid, que bien resistes, Madrid, que bien resistes, mamita mía, los bombardeos, Madrid, you wondrous city, Madrid, you wondrous city, Madrid, you wondrous city, mamita mia, they wanted to take you, they wanted to take you. But your courageous children, but your courageous children, but your courageous children, mamita mia, they did not disgrace you, they did not disgrace you. Los cuatro generales, los cuatro generales, los cuatro generales, mamita mía.
And we are back. I'm Andrew Stewart, reporting for Rhode Island's Future. My guest today is Dr. Peter Glaser. He is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, and a member of the board of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. He has done a large amount of scholarship on music that was recorded in solidarity with the Second Spanish Republic during the Spanish Civil War of 1936 to 39.
Can you explain some of your ideas about nostalgia and what your scholarship of these songs has dealt with?
Sure. So I came out to California in 1991, and at that time I was beginning to work on this musical in earnest. And I read an article in the local free arts paper called the East Bay Express, and it was an interview with a gentleman named Milt Wolf, who lived in El Cerrito, right next to where I was living, and who was the last commander of the Lincolns in Spain, and clearly a very interesting, complicated, and articulate fellow. So I took the bull by the horns and said, well, if I'm really going to write a musical about the Spanish Civil War, I darn well better meet this volunteer who lives in the next town over. So I called him up, made an appointment, went over and got to interview Milt and got to know him over the course of the next 10 years pretty well. And right when I was meeting Milt, the history of commemorative performances out here in the Bay Area, where the volunteers would get together every year and sing songs and read poems and celebrate their history and raise funds for causes that they believed in, was beginning to be transferred to the next generation of activists. And Milt introduced me to the people who were producing these annual commemorative events. And I began to work with them and began to attend these annual events, and also I was helping direct them and write them. And what happened when I attended these events was that I became really aware of the powerful emotional, of the way that these songs and these stories and these histories generated a huge amount of emotional resonance for not only the people who had fought in Spain, but for the next generation. There was this palpable sense of nostalgia for that time, for that period of time. So I began to work on these events. I carried that information forward. And when I got to graduate school, I started working on a PhD in my 40s. And I got to Northwestern and started, you know, the first question they always ask is, what are you going to write your dissertation about? So I started talking about all the things that interested me. And one of the things that I was talking about was my relationship with these volunteers. And I began to work on what eventually became my dissertation. Looking at this commemorative history, looking at the way that these commemorations were protecting a marginalized history, that the history of the Spanish Civil War is something that's not taught very often and not taught very well, in part because of its political connection, the fact that it was a communist movement, in part because it was somewhat embarrassing for the United States to have not supported the Republic during that period of time, but obviously to have gotten involved in the Second World War later when Hitler had already come to power. And the idea of radical nostalgia is that usually when you think about nostalgia as a concept, or a lot of the writing about nostalgia suggests that nostalgia is a way of thinking about the status quo, you know, that, oh, if only it was like the old days. That nostalgia, as it's often configured and imagined, doesn't generate progressive action. It's much more about looking back than it is about looking forward. And much more about, samples of it in the United States might be going to visit Colonial Williamsburg. Oh, things were so much simpler then, and if only it could be like we were back then. Life was so much easier. But that's not a progressive instinct. What I sensed when I went to these events was that nostalgia for the Spanish Civil War, because of its politics, because it was a lost history, actually had the potential to be a progressive force. That nostalgia within the context of radical progressive politics in the U.S. actually could motivate people to make change. For example, at these events that were so emotional, fueled by the music, out in California, they were fundraisers where the volunteers and their supporters and the other activists would raise money to support progressive causes, to fund one of the things that they funded on an annual basis was a pediatric hospital in Cuba. Well, the United States was certainly not going to fund a pediatric hospital in Cuba, but the volunteers of the Spanish Civil War at these events did. And when these songs were sung, it really got people excited and motivated and passionate about the kinds of progressive causes the Spanish Civil War represented. So the idea of radical nostalgia, you know, in sum, was that nostalgia for a marginalized cause that was identified with politically progressive instincts can, in fact, be a progressive force in culture. And it was within that kind of theoretical framework that I wrote a book called Radical Nostalgia about the commemorative history of the Spanish Civil War in the U.S.
Here's one of those songs right now titled The Peat Bog Soldiers.
Yeah, that's got one of the most interesting histories. It originated in one of the concentration camps, Bordemor. Again, my pronunciation is lousy. Which, as I understand it, was one of the camps. This was not specifically a camp for Jews. It was a camp for communists and political dissidents, and it was. Literally, according to the history, smuggled out of the camp by an escaping prisoner or by someone else who was sympathetic with the cause, and made its way to Spain, where Ernst Busch heard it and put it on the record Six Songs for Democracy. My understanding is that the song was sung by the prisoners in the camp in German, and it had coded lyrics. So it had lyrics that might not seem to be revolutionary and resistant to the guards, but that the prisoners knew that in fact they were rebellious lyrics. And I think eventually the song was banned. And it was made very popular in the U.S. by Paul Robeson. He has a famous recording. He has a number of famous recordings of the Peatbox Soldiers. And it was one of the songs that he sang in Spain when he traveled there to sing for the troops during the war.
Far and wide as the eye can wander, heath and bog are everywhere. Not a bird sings out to cheer us. Oaks are standing gaunt and bare. We are the Peatbox Soldiers. We're marching with our spades to the bog. Up and down the guards are pacing. No one can go through. Flight would mean a sure death facing. Guns and barbed wire greet our view. We are the Peatbox Soldiers. We're marching with our spades to the bog. But for us there is no complaining. Winter will in time be past. One day we shall cry rejoicing, homeland dear, you're mine at last. Then will the Peatbox Soldiers march no more with their spades to the bog. Doch für uns gibt es kein Klagen, ewig kann's nicht Winter sein. Einmal werden froh wir sagen, Heimat, du bist wieder mein. Dann ziehen die Moorsoldaten nicht mehr mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Dann ziehen die Moorsoldaten nicht mehr mit dem Spaten ins Moor.
Viva la Quince Brigada.
This is the refrain of this song, which is this sort of remarkably catchy rumbala, 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 is probably one of the most recognizable of the refrains in any of the songs. This was originally a Spanish song. It was based on the Spanish folk melody. And actually, the melody became the source for two different songs during the war. But this one... it's so singable. The chorus is so catchy and such a signature that it's probably, I don't think I've ever attended a commemorative event recognizing the history of the Spanish Civil War that did not include this song. It's basically Long Live the 15th Brigade. And the 15th Brigade was the brigade in which the international volunteers participated, and obviously also where the American volunteers then were involved. So as is typical of a number of songs that came out of the war, it was created in Spain. It was using a very recognizable to the Spanish people folk melody that everyone knew. And then the new lyrics gave it a new message. And I think that's one of the reasons that it became so popular. And it was also recorded by my dad and Pete Seeger and Butch and Bess Hawes when the record was made here in the States in 1944.
Viva viva la quinta brigada, rumba la rumba la rumba la, viva la quinta brigada, rumba la rumba la rumba la. Fiesta a cubierta de gloria, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Fiesta a cubierta de gloria, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Luchamos contra los moros, rumba la rumba la rumba la. Luchamos contra los moros, rumba la rumba la rumba la. Mercenarios y fascistas, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Mercenarios y fascistas, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Solo es nuestro deseo, rumba la rumba la rumba la. Solo es nuestro deseo, rumba la rumba la rumba la. Acaba con el fascismo, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Acaba con el fascismo, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Frentes de Jarama, rumba la rumba la rumba la. En las frentes de Jarama, rumba la rumba la rumba la. No tenemos ni aviones, ni tanques, ni cañones, ay Manuela. No tenemos ni aviones, ni tanques, ni cañones, ay Manuela. Ya salimos de España, rumba la rumba la rumba la. Ya salimos de España, rumba la rumba la rumba la. Por luchar en los frentes, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Por luchar en los frentes, ay Manuela, ay Manuela.
And we are back. I'm Andrew Stewart, reporting for Rhode Island's Future. My guest today is Dr. Peter Glaser. He is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, and a member of the board of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. He has done a large amount of scholarship on music that was recorded in solidarity with the Second Spanish Republic during the Spanish Civil War of 1936-39.
Just closing up the interview, can you explain some of the events that's going to be coming up in the next year in your neck of the woods surrounding commemoration?
Sure. Absolutely. So, as I've said, there's been this commemorative history for ever since the late 30s, where originally reunions, effectively reunions, but where people gather to remember the history of the Spanish Civil War and remember the bravery of the volunteers. So it happens that 2016 will be the 80th anniversary of the start of the Spanish Civil War. And I'm a professor in a theater department here at UC Berkeley in California, and my department will be producing this musical, Heart of Spain, in part to recognize the 80th commemorative year. And in addition to that project, there are going to be a lot of other events on the Berkeley campus surrounding Heart of Spain. We're going to be having poetry readings, we're going to be having concerts, we're going to be having lectures, panel discussions, the annual reunion of the Spanish Civil War community in the Bay Area will be celebrated during that time. And this will be the last two weekends in October is when Heart of Spain will be taking place. In our departments. And though we're still in the planning stages, if anyone was interested in learning more about this, my department's website is tdps.berkeley.edu. That's T, D as in David, P as in Peter, S as in Sam.berkeley.edu. And within the next few months, there will be stuff posted about what's going on regarding the Spanish Civil War here at UC Berkeley in the fall of 2016. And the other place that folks could go to learn about events, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives is a national organization that supports protecting the history of the Spanish Civil War. They will be co-sponsoring all of these events out here in Berkeley And their website is alba.valb.org. So Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives, alba-valb.org. And there'll be information up there as well. So there's going to be lots going on here on the West Coast to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the Spanish Civil War.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Peter.
Thank you for listening today. If you like what you are hearing, please consider supporting independent media in the Ocean State by making a tax-deductible donation to Rhode Island's future at www.rifuture.org. This is Andrew Stewart reporting from Providence.